Today, we're going to be talking about one of the missions that we support here to church throughout the year. And for those of you that don't know, we take up an offering for Easter, and we support three foreign missions. Free wheelchairs in Vietnam, free water filters we give away in Brazil, and then feeding children in Haiti. So that is for Easter. So starting today, we're going to talk about the free wheelchairs in Vietnam, the ministry that we support there. And then for the next two Sundays, next week, we'll talk about Haiti. Our founding pastor, Pastor Dave Diani, will be sharing with that. He'll be interviewing Steve Fitterer. Steve Fitterer is on our board of directors. He's our treasurer, and he oversees that mission. And so Pastor Dave is at another church promoting LifeWise Academy. So he's working with the school board of Reynoldsburg and some of the local churches in getting the Bible into the schools. So that's what he's doing today. Next Sunday he'll be here and he'll talk about Haiti. And then after that we'll talk about Brazil. And then we'll have Palm Sunday where we'll kind of talk about all three of them. But I would like for you to just kind of be in prayer about your giving for the Easter offering. So, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. In just a second, we have a video from Pastor Vu. He is the pastor in Vietnam who oversees the wheelchair mission. Pastor Vu preaches the gospel in a communist country. And when I look at some of the pictures and some of the videos he sends me, and then I think about that, this man is incredible. Like we think about sometimes how difficult it can be to preach the gospel here in America because, you know, somebody made fun of us or somebody said, I don't go to church because it's, you know, whatever, religious institution or whatever. Well, Pastor Vu preaches in a country where he has to get permission from the government before he can do anything. I mean, this is preaching the gospel. And so I had him send me a little video so he can share it with us. He recorded it in an airport, so there's a little bit of background noise and stuff, but it'll kind of give you an idea of the impact that we have on him. And also, he's trying to come to the United States. So we've been trying to work this out with him for 10 years. And I just caught word, Henry told me that he's having trouble with his visa. It's not a problem for him to come into America, but it is a problem for him to leave Vietnam. So keep that in prayer. We'll pray about that today, but just keep that in prayer. He was hoping to be here on Easter Sunday. So let's show that video.
Hello, Pastor Chip, and all the church member of the Vine Church of Reynoldsburg. I'm Pastor Vu from Vietnam. My name church is Promised Land Ministry. And I'm the pastor of the church, receives a lot of the wheelchair from your church. And I would like to say thank you so much from my heart and all the recipient of Vietnam to say thank you so much for all your love and support for the wheelchairs in Vietnam. I can see a lot of recipients, they never know anything about Jesus, but through wheelchair, their mind, their heart stirred, they start to hurt about Jesus, and the wheelchairs like a key to their home. Because after we distribute the wheelchair, my church and my church worker and a lot of church worker in other town in Vietnam, we have a reason to come to their home, to visit, talking with them about the wheelchair. And after a short talking, we start to witness. So wheelchair is the very effective key to enter to their home and save their soul. So I would like to say thank you so much, and each of dollar from your church is a very, very effective fund to help for Vietnam.
5.8% of the population is considered disabled in Vietnam. For a country home to roughly 95 million, this equates to more than 5 million people. Often, those with disabilities face circumstances that make life more difficult, such as limited access to education, fewer work opportunities, and difficulty with transportation and self-care. In Vietnam, we're giving away wheelchairs. With just $50, we can get a wheelchair to a person that really needs it.
The next video shows a group of wheelchair recipients thanking Jesus for the gift they received.
Dạ, em xin cảm ơn rất nhiều ạ. Về vợ của cha thấy cái mặt chút rồi. Rồi, vui không?
Vui ạ.
Rồi.
Somebody donated the wheelchair for that lady to have that big smile. Somebody from this church bought that wheelchair that she's sitting in that changed her life. And when I see that, I think of all the other lives that are changed by donating wheelchairs. So at this time, what I would like to do is I would like to invite Leslie Wells, Henry Diani, and Katie Diani up. And we're just going to talk a little bit about the wheelchair mission. Katie, we'll start with you. Yeah, so... Leslie and Katie and Henry have gone to Vietnam. They've distributed wheelchairs. And Katie went several years ago, but she always talks about how it was a life-changing event for her. And so what I would like to know, Katie, is can you share with us an experience you had giving someone a wheelchair and how it wasn't just a life-changing moment for them, but how it was a life-changing moment for you too? What made it so life-changing?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you watch those videos and it's amazing. I think there's such a disconnect with the need for those wheelchairs. And something that overwhelmed me immediately was that every single person walking through those doors, they weren't walking. No one was walking. These are like children being carried, elderly being carried, and had been carried for like their whole lives. Which was just startling to me, you know, people rolling up on boards that needed chairs, and there's a huge need. So right away, you know, that experience of really just seeing a huge need and immediately watching it be fulfilled is so incredible. But beyond that, I remember a specific experience where we were ministering to, I don't know where we're at, you know, we would get on a bus, go to a location, show up, build 100 wheelchairs, watch people fill them. But it was this moment where I saw a lot of Viet Cong veterans come in the door with war wounds. And so like amputated legs, different things. And I was so startled because I'm just thinking like, my grandfather was a veteran of war, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what a hard moment for them to have to receive this chair from an American, and thinking about the difference in generations and the difference in, you know, political strife or whatever tension you might feel. And I'm, you know, this 20-something-year-old girl down on her knees at, you know, the foot of a Viet Cong veteran putting, you know, adjusting his chair. And then to be able to share the gospel and watch them receive the gospel and maybe hear it for the first time, you know, was absolutely, like, just wrecked me. I think it just goes to show that when we make a movement like this, it goes beyond, you know, we talk about it being for other countries, but it trumps all tension. It trumps all war and disconnect and language barriers. And it was incredible. It was so incredible to watch that happen. So
wow.
That was a big one for me. Yeah.
Amen. That's good. All right. Well, Leslie, so I know you're pretty sold out to this ministry. Leslie is a part of our life group, so she often shares stories about her experiences in Vietnam. Leslie, what gives you the drive to continue to support the wheelchair mission in Vietnam? What does it mean to you, and why is your heart so passionate about this?
I don't think you can overstate the impact on
my life, and like Katie said, her life, I mean, you get wrecked. The first year that I was there, we put a man in a wheelchair who had spent 40 years on the floor. 40 years. Never had a way to get out of his house unless somebody was carrying him or put him on a cart and wheeled him somewhere. And you can't, seeing somebody's life change in an instant like that is life-changing for you too. And it, I mean, after the first session that we did where we were giving away chairs, like, you can't not want to go back. It really digs into your heart and stays there.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, good, that's good to hear. All right, Henry, last question here. So Henry, what would you say to someone who's considering giving to our Easter offering, and why do you think it's so important that we support the Vineyard, the Vietnam Wheelchair Mission?
Well, obviously a lot of what you just heard was a real good reason. The things that I noticed, I think what brought me was, the first time I got there, I was watching people on sidewalks with, you know, 2x4s on their knees and dragging themselves with other people walking with them, and never saw that done before. And you think, oh, this is bad. Then we had to say, how do we get the chairs? When it came in, we started putting them together with, I don't know, hundreds of parts. The reason was that you can't send a whole chair from a company that was out in, I forget the name of the company at the time. The chairs would disappear. So we had to bring them in parts and pieces so it wouldn't get stolen. So we had to come up with these little things and correct them. We found out the chairs sometimes didn't fit in some of these small homes. So we had to go back and get it redesigned to collapse. I mean, these are some of the things we walk through to get through to make sure these people can get in their houses with them and back. And a couple of things I remember was a family coming in carrying their kids, even dad, because he couldn't do anything. And then I saw them leaving, and there was dad in the chair, and the kids hanging all over him, and his wife is pulling him down because now they can mobile and get him down there. So. And I won't say too much more because I'll start to cry, so I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, I hear you. So, I just wanted, you know, Henry oversees the Free Wheelchair Mission, and, you know, it was life-changing for Katie. It's life-changing for Leslie. Leslie, I'm sure once we can get back in there, you know, we plan on going back to Vietnam. But I just wanted you to hear it from people who have been there, how life-changing it is. And it's $50 for a chair. You know, think of what you spend right now today. $50 is like nothing. So we can do this, church. So thank you guys for coming up and sharing with that. So, yeah. So I just want to talk about a little bit. We're going to, with our Easter offering coming up, we're going to be promoting these in the next few weeks, like I said. And I'm kind of calling this a giving series. And I know that sometimes in the church, people are kind of like, oh, talking about giving money again. But you know what? We're not giving money. We're investing in the kingdom. And that's kind of what I want to talk about here. So first of all, though, just to give you a little bit of an example. So you know, our church is changing. We have a lot of new people here. We have a lot of people who've been coming here for years. And for those of you that are new here, what I want you to know is the road that's been paved by our founding pastor, Pastor Dave, is one of giving. This church is a giving church, and for that we are always thankful. It's always it's a humbling experience to see how much money is given when we have a need. And the Easter offering always just surprises us by how much the church gives. Just to give you an example of some of our Easter offerings, so we do the free wheelchairs. It's $50 a wheelchair. We do the water filters in Brazil. It's $195 for a water filter. And then feeding children in Haiti, it's, okay, get this, $180 feeds a child for an entire year. Now think about your grocery bill and then think about that. We can sacrifice a little bit, church. We can dig deep and we can give a little bit. And that's what we're going to talk about. But listen to this. To date, for the wheelchairs, We've been supporting the Vietnam Wheelchair Mission since 2010. We have given away 6,640 chairs. That's 6,600 lives changed. 542 water filters since 2017, and 512 children fed for a year since 2018. That's a lot of lives changed. Last year alone, total for all three, we gave away $56,322. Now, I have a number in my head for this year. It's much larger than that, but I want to see if we can meet it. I think we can, but we'll see. Now, since we've been giving away our entire Easter offering, the entire thing goes to these three missions. Since we've been doing this, since 1991, this church has given away $1,473,166,000. So after this Easter, we can say we've given away $1.5 million. That's you. You know, something about church, all the churches, this church, this isn't my church. It was never Pastor Dave's church. And I'm sorry, but it's not even your church. It's God's church that we are all a part of. Amen. See, God brings all of us in here. The person sitting next to you, the person that'll sit next to you this week and today, it wasn't a coincidence. God's hand is in the midst of this church and everything that goes on. And I believe that when you keep that perspective, you allow kingdom things to happen. You allow the kingdom of God to move in the way that he wants to move. So I'm praying that this Easter, we are a blessing like never before. You know, the whole world is coming out of this pandemic, and who knows what's next. Obviously, we see things on the horizon. But you know, we can be a gift to people in need. And as followers of Jesus, giving should be an important part of our faith. What we're going to talk about today is something that's called the law of sowing and reaping. It's a biblical principle of giving. And in all of creation, we can see that God is very precise in everything that he does. For instance, think about the human body. Whenever I get involved in creation versus evolution discussions, my first thought is how complex the human body is. The circulatory, the respiratory, the bone structure, the everything. The uniqueness of each one of us. Our intellect, our feelings, our emotions. Do you honestly think that that was just kind of by chance? It just, everything fell into place and it just, bloop, perfect. We have a creator. And everything he does is complex and exact. For instance, this earth that we live on, if it was tilted 1 degree one way or 1 degree the other way from its axis, we would not be able to survive on this earth. We'd freeze up in one direction or burn up in the other. It's like down to the very, like that. I mean, God is perfect. And everything is exact in all of its creation, and everything is connected by laws. For instance, we have laws of mathematics, laws of physics, laws of chemistry, laws of nature, and spiritual laws, biblical principles. For instance, you know, I was thinking, like, why is it that when you came in today, you didn't check that chair that you're sitting in to see if it was going to hold you or if it was sturdy enough to not fall down when you sat in it. But whenever we begin to think about this, we want to search it out first, and we're very skeptical. Think about this morning when you got out of bed. Well, first of all, you didn't find yourself floating around somewhere in the corner of the room. When you got out of bed, you put your feet on the ground, and the law of gravity, it's keeping us all right here in our seats. Otherwise, we'd be floating around. How about another one? The law of magnetism. A compass points to true north, right? It's magnetism that keeps it. It's your GPS system. And then, I thought I had one more. Maybe I Maybe I did it. Oh, electricity. Now, some of you may understand this, but there's a, we have some electricians in here, so I don't, just keep your knowledge to yourself. But I have a utility pole outside of our house that has a pretty thick cable that I know to stay away from that one. But it goes into our house, it goes into a circuit box, and then a bunch of wires from there go all throughout the house. And I don't think about, when I flip a switch on, if I should be concerned or not. I trust that it's going to turn the light on. I trust that it's going to turn whatever on and off that it does. That's the law of electricity. And all of that stuff has a creator that's behind that design. So what we're going to do today is we are going to look at God's law of money. And I didn't say God's law of prosperity. Okay? Because we're not preaching. This church will never be a prosperity gospel preaching church. Okay? We'll never distort the scriptures when it comes to giving or anything else for that matter.
Amen.
But in God's word are laws for our money. Laws of investing. Laws of saving. Laws of giving. Laws of spending. Laws of managing. These are all biblical principles that God has in his word for us to handle our finances. Everywhere in there. Jesus speaks a lot of it. The Apostle Paul spoke a lot of it. Look in the Proverbs. There's a lot about our finances in the Proverbs. Because God wants us to be good stewards of what we have. Because what we have came from him. And if we want to be successful in life, we need to, number one, learn how to handle our finances. Most of us know that. Most of us have already been, you know, we know what it means to mishandle our finances. Some of us do. And some of us are still are like, you're hitting too close to home. Some of us haven't gone down that road before, and some of us have come up and out of it, and now we know the wisdom of our finances. But before we get into giving, I want to touch on a section of giving that's called the tithe. So this is something that we, as followers of Jesus, should be doing because it's something that God says we should be doing. And the most popular passage about tithing is found in the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It's right before the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 3. God says, "Does a person rob me?" Well, when you do not give of your tithes, God says you are robbing from me. Because everything we have comes from God. And God says, I want you to give your first 10% back to me. Your first fruits. And at the time, the Bible speaks a lot about farming. Well, not all of us are farmers. The Israelites were farmers. So that was the analogy that they were used to reading about, hearing about. They could connect with that. Everything we have comes from God. He doesn't want our money. This church doesn't need your money, although it's what supports this church. It's how we can do extravaganza. It's how we can do men's breakfast, ladies' breakfast, some of the big events that we do. But God says, 10% into my kingdom so that I can do what I want to do in each one of these churches all around the world. See, this is God's church, and you tithe to where you are spiritually fed. So if you're visiting here today and you have a home church somewhere else, I hope you're tithing there. If you consider this your home church, I hope you're tithing here. It's a biblical principle that also will put an area of protection over your finances. And I also believe that tithing puts an umbrella of protection over your home, over your household, over your family. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know what? It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me in this. It's the only place. So if you don't tithe, you can say, God, I'm not buying into this, but I think I do, so I want you to show me the blessings that I will receive from this. And I'm telling you, he will bless you for that. He says, if you bring your tithe into the storehouses, I will pour out such a blessing you won't be able to handle it. And I am a firm believer in that. Our family believes in that. Our children are old enough now, they're starting to have jobs and make money. They believe in it because they've seen the blessings of God happen due to their tithing. And again, it doesn't mean that this umbrella of protection and everything, it doesn't mean that you're never going to have any trouble. It doesn't mean that hardships are never going to come your way. But what it does mean is that God will provide all the resources, wisdom, people, help, and everything else you need to see you through that hardship. It means for us that when a hardship comes, car breaks down, something breaks down, something happens, we never even worry about it. We say, okay, well, let's figure out how we're going to take care of this. And then we see God actually take care of it for us. It's amazing. You can't outdo God in this area. And most importantly, though, what tithing does is it says to God, God, I'm in. I'm in. I want to invest in your kingdom. I want to be a part, God, of what you're doing in your kingdom. And then also, tithing and giving beyond the tithe is what will start a whole new adventure in life. When you understand giving, your spiritual life explodes. It reaches different levels. And whenever I'm in a conversation with this and somebody says, you really don't understand how tight things are for us. We're barely making ends meet. We can't afford to tithe. What? I say, well, I can't afford not to tithe. Amen. I can't afford not to do it because God will take care of you. So listen, when we understand the biblical principles, our greatest adventures get to be experienced. But what I want to do is I want to read a passage from the 2 Corinthians. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. That's the scriptures. That's the word of God speaking here. What this is saying is, when you give sparingly, when you give little, what are you going to get back? Little. When you give generously, God will give back to you generously. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law of giving. It's a biblical principle. See, God's kingdom works like this in everything. This is years ago, the church started bringing in like some business practices into the church on how we could just manage the church and stuff. And there was a book by the founder of Chick-fil-A or something, From Good to Great, and the church kind of grabbed hold of that. And it's a fantastic book. But also, the business world uses a lot of these same principles. Like, for instance, if I give freely of my love for others, if I love people unconditionally, regardless of how they are and how they treat me, what do you think I'm going to receive back from others? Love. If I offer unconditional grace and mercy to everybody around me, regardless of the type of person they are, what do you think is going to come back to me? Grace and mercy. If I give generously, God's word says you will receive generously. If a farmer plants a few seeds, okay, if you know a farmer and he just went out and threw out 10 seeds, and then you know a farmer over here who prepared and plowed and planted all of his rows of seeds, and he worked at it and got lots in return, but this farmer over here just threw out 10 and he's complaining because only 8 of his corn stalks grew up and now he can't make a living. Are we gonna wonder why he should be complaining, or are we gonna look at him and be, well, that was foolish. That was foolish of you to think that you were gonna get a generous crop out of that. The kingdom of God works in the very same manner. When we invest little, why would we think we're going to get back much in return? Often people that have financial issues and problems, they wonder why this is happening. A lot of times, maybe it's mismanagement of money. Maybe it's because, you know what, they're not tithing and they're doing everything that the Bible says they should do except for in the area of their finances. It's a principle. It's a law. It's the way things work. You can argue all you want, but if you try it, you will see that it works. Verses 7 and 8, 2 Corinthians verses 7 and 8. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Plenty left over to share with others. We're told in this passage, first of all, that we got to figure out how much you want or can give. If person A makes $20,000 a year and person B makes $100,000 a year, why would person A think that their giving is going to be on the same level over here? We're all in different areas. So don't compare yourself to somebody else. Give what you can, and when you feel pressed to give sacrificially or to give more, do it. I believe that God will bless you in that area. We've moved into that area. We give as much as we can to every cause that we can that crosses our paths. That Kim and I think maybe this is a good thing to invest in, because it's investing in the kingdom. And our money, God can do much more with our money than we can. It's a biblical principle that coincides with the law of giving. When we give generously, God gives back generously. And it should be done according to what we can give. So I just want to tell you a couple of stories here. I wasn't going to share this first one, but I did check with Kim this morning to make sure it was okay, because this is a story that we haven't really shared with a whole lot of people, but it's a huge blessing, and I believe it's because of this. So our kids go to a private school, go to a Christian school. We have to pay for their education. For those of you that know, it's not cheap. And Kim and I aren't rolling in the dough. But we make ends meet. Because of our giving and our tithing, I believe God makes sure that it all meets. Well, the tuition automatically comes out of our bank account. Several years ago, I was like, tuition didn't come out. All right, well, I'll wait another month. Tuition didn't come out. So I called the school and I said, hey, notice that the tuition hasn't come out. Of course, you know, what's the first thing to do? Well, maybe they won't notice. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't mess ourselves up. I said, hey, get this. Well, we have a family here that goes to our church, and they always pick a family that goes to our school, and they pay for their tuition, and they chose you. Do you think that was just by chance? So that went on for 2 years. And now we qualify for almost 98% of our tuition is paid for to put our kids through school. That was a teary-eyed moment, because only God could do something like that. Only God can do something like that. Here's another one. A couple years ago, Kim's car broke down. And a mechanic said, yeah, it's, you know, head gasket. Car had 160,000 miles on it, and, you know, you may as well just forget it. Well, this was around September, and I was thinking, well, we're going to get a new car in, like, February. You know, we'll prepare for it. We'll do all of our shopping. We'll get a New Year's deal. We'll get our tax return back, and we'll have what we need to buy a car. Well, you know, the car said otherwise, and so did God. So said, all right, Kim, you know what? Let's just do it now. We can do this. It can work. So she picked out a car. We went to the dealership, and Kim's a musician. We're always lugging around keyboards and hammer dulcimer and speakers and all kinds. So we need a little bigger car. So we get there, and we're looking at this SUV, and then I'm like, and I'm always the guy that you can always sucker me into going one step up. You know, like I always want to, that's just me. I'm a spender. I always want the better deal. But we're looking, and it's a bigger car. Obviously, it's going to cost more. But I'm like, what, you know, can you show us that one? Bigger car, better car, nicer car, on sale for the same price, and the monthly payments were right within our window. So God said, hey, your car is going to break down, but look, do your research, and I'm going to take care of this for you. That to me, is the law of sowing and reaping. When you give generously, God will take care of you. When you tithe, that is the kind of things that God takes care of you in. We've got hundreds of stories like this. And that is why when Kim and I come up with like a ministry to give to or something, if it's on her heart, I don't even question it. If it's on my heart, she doesn't question it. We check with each other, but then we just give. We give when we're at a restaurant. We give above and beyond for the server. I don't care what the food was like or the service was like, because that is God's money, and it's going to bless that person regardless. It's not for me to wonder why they're in a bad mood, because that money may change their day. Amen? So those are a couple of stories. And also, just a little side note about this passage here. Oftentimes I hear people talk about this passage is the passage that tells us we don't need to tithe. The Bible says just give what you can. Well, God says give 10% into the kingdom. This is talking above giving. Like, for instance, what if God said, well, I only feel like giving you a little bit today, Henry. I don't feel like giving you my all. I'm just giving you what I can today. We expect God to give us his all, don't we? Isn't that funny how we expect the creator of the universe to be there for us at all times, but yet we don't often want to invest in his kingdom? It's just 10%, church. And then above that is the giving. So I don't believe that this passage overrides tithing also because it doesn't say that. God's word is very clear about things, so I believe that the Apostle Paul would say, hey, by the way, we're done with that 10% thing. Just give what you can. And you know, here's the deal. We tithe out of acknowledgement for what God does for us. If God takes care of you, if God answers your prayers, if you see God's hand moving in your life and you don't tithe, church, it's 10%. It's not. And you know what? You'll never miss it once you start. All of a sudden, your finances will expand. You'll be like, whoa, I have extra money here. We give out of acknowledgement. We tithe because it's a way of honoring the relationship with God. We tithe because he provides for us, and we want to give back because of his provision. And I think verse 10 supports that. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. God is the one that provides the income that you have and the food on your table. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So this verse 10 tells us that everything that we have comes from God. It all comes from God. And you know what tithing also does? It creates a heart of generosity. Because you get to see God move in your life, in the area of your finances, and then you begin to understand, oh, my goodness, this is for real. It's a principle. The Bible says, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. And in the area of tithing, God says, put me to the test in this. It is God who gives us the resources to give back to his kingdom. The provision we receive from God, you know, and again, the provision that we receive from him in the area of giving could be a number of things. It could be a financial breakthrough. It could be all of a sudden that you now have the wisdom, or maybe somebody comes into your life to teach you about finances. Things that you didn't know about before. You didn't know I was going to do this, but Tom and Kirsten Thomas are a prime example of this. They now lead a Dave Ramsey's course because they have seen God's provision in their life. They understand this. It could be a restoration of relationships. Your marriage could all of a sudden get back to where you both wanted it to be. Or maybe you were on the outs with somebody. God could restore those relationships. Could be an answer to prayer. It could be healing. It could be a number of things. It could be, wow, things are really tight, but we want our kids to go to this school. What? Somebody's paying for our tuition? could be a number of things, church. Because here's the deal. I want you to hear what I'm saying so that you can experience what we experience. And God wants you to hear what I'm saying so that you can experience what He has for you. So honestly, here's another thing. I think the most important blessings are the ones that we didn't even know we got. Because something was going to come our way that day, and God said, not today. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. That issue is not going to affect them today. And you went on about your day, and you had no idea that God kept something from happening to you that day. So the Apostle Paul also quotes Psalm 112. It's a great psalm. The verse 1 starts with this. Praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Grateful are those who are in awe of the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Tithing, it really is a command. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Think about the influence that we have in Vietnam right now. In a communist country, your money is getting the gospel preached by way of a wheelchair. Our good deeds in the area of giving to those in need will be remembered forever. That person will forever remember being placed in a wheelchair and no longer sitting on a dirt floor, no longer walking around with 2x4s strapped to their knees so they don't skin their knees up and they can pull themselves along a sidewalk. Katie will always remember, Henry, Leslie, they will forever remember putting somebody in wheelchairs. And you know who else will forever remember that? God. He keeps record of everything. And not only will God give back to us generously, but He will also, but we will also have influence and honor. And this is something that only God can do. It's supernatural. Now, I have people in my life that I look up to that are successful businessmen and successful in life, and they are very generous givers. They influence me. And in return, I want to honor them. That's how that works. Influence and honor. For those who understand the principle of giving, it becomes a way of life. You can never outgive God. He will constantly be showing you how much He cares for you, and He will be giving back to you in all areas. God sees our giving as proof of our love for Him, as proof of our trust in Him, and as proof of our heart investing in His kingdom. So I'll kind of bring it home with this. You may not be able to physically go to these countries that Vineyard Community Church supports, right? But your giving ushers in the presence of God to those who need it, those who have felt left behind and forgotten, living on a dirt floor in a hut in a communist country, living in such a remote area in the rivers in Brazil that only a canoe can get to your house, and you're sick because you don't have clean drinking water. Living in a country where there's such a civil unrest that you don't have food to eat, and children, we're feeding children, which also they're getting the gospel taught to them when they come to get a meal. See, God comforts the hurting and meets their needs by the giving of our gifts. When you buy a wheelchair, a water filter, feed a child, that is a gift to the person on the receiving end. A gift to somebody who probably otherwise feels forgotten in this world. And our giving glorifies God because it acknowledges that everything we have belongs to Him. Our giving goes to a country where the gospel is not allowed to be preached, in a communist country. Our giving goes to a country where people live on rivers that are undrinkable. And our giving goes to a country where children don't have food to eat and we feed them. Our giving brings the love of Jesus to those who may not feel loved. And that is what our Easter offering is all about. We give the entire thing away, all of it. And that's what I just want to encourage you to be in prayer about. You know, it's what is it, April 17th. It's like a month from now. Please be in prayer. You know, I did the math, and if 200 people bought one of each, we would have one of the biggest Easter offerings we've ever had. Bought one of each. It's, what is it, 400 and, yeah, whatever. I did the math yesterday, but if 200 people bought one of each, one wheelchair, one filter, and one child, we'd have one of the biggest offerings we've had. So, church, please be in prayer about this, and together, as a church family, let's be a blessing to those in need. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you, God, for the generosity of this church. And I know the number that I'm thinking of, God, and I pray that you put it on the hearts of people here, Lord Jesus, to say, I don't know what that number is, but I want to be a part of matching it. I pray that you put it on our hearts, God, to give sacrificially, to save a little bit here and there. Brew your own coffee at home instead of $5 cup of lattes, because that's $25 a week. But really, I joke, but I'm seriously, I really want to encourage you to think about our Easter offering. And God, as we move into a time of worship, I actually sense and anticipate something special happening here. And so, Holy Spirit, I just want to invite you in to move freely amongst the room, to speak to each one of us in the area of giving and even tithing, God, so that lives may forever be changed this morning in our spiritual walk with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.